This is Tommy Keene, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the Office of the Governor and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the Greene County Cultural Fund, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC monthly supporters, whose generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Melinda of Catskill, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
WGXC welcomes audio responses and feedback from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-622-2598 and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. That number again is 518-622-2598.
And you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra, Hudson, and Catskill, New York, WGXC Accra. This is Pastor Kim, your perpetual optimist, and this is The Bright Side. There is a bright side somewhere, right here with me on WGXC 90.7 FM and WGXC.org online. Happy Sunday, everybody. I hope that you're having a wonderful Sunday and that things are falling for you in good places. I know that we are going through some things in our nation this time of life. But you know what? We're not doing life alone, right? We're here for one another, and God has got us. Hallelujah. He's faithful, and he's a keeper, and he will keep us in the midst of the storm. How about that? We're looking to God this morning to help and bless as only he can do as we come to you with the music for the heart, the mind, and the soul, the music with the message. Now, I've been playing around with this thing for a little bit this morning, and I'm just finding it's trying to give me a hard time. You know, the saying goes, we're living in hard times, and the Bible declares it and shows us the sign. So we're looking for help from the Lord. Praise be to God to get this music going on one accord. We've got a wonderful lineup for you today. And but before I go there, I also want to say, you know, we need to pray for the folks in Myanmar who had that terrible natural disaster situation going on, 1,000 more and more lives. that have been swept away. So, yeah, we pray for them today. Thank God for the rescuers, the government agencies, and the nations that come to help and support. We're so grateful that there are people that God put on their heart and mind to respond in times of disaster and crisis. And we thank God for being able to lift each other up in prayer. Prayer can change things. Prayer can help things. Prayer can fix things. Amen. Am I right about it? Are you a believer? I believe. Well, y'all pray for me this morning. I want to get some music out here for you. One song that I had lined up is Thank God, and it doesn't seem to be coming through. So we're going to try something else, and I'm going to see if that will work. And if it does, then we're going to keep on going with the lineup. I'm going to come back with the lineup in a moment. But first, I do want to share something that I read this morning in my devotional. I wanted to share that with you. I think that it might be a blessing to somebody listening, and that's what we want to do. We want to bless you. We want to bless you. That's right, you. That's right, you. In the Upper Room, it's titled My Source. It's written by someone named Ryan Kingsman in Punjab, Pakistan. Christian brother in Pakistan. And he offers this thought: faith in God's word provides direction during trying times. Can I get a witness? And a focus in prayer. People who feel alone and discouraged. It might be you this day that's feeling alone and discouraged. But we're here so that you'll know that you're not alone. Amen. And we're here that you would take encouragement and know that there is a bright side somewhere. Don't quit in the dip. Our brother in Pakistan, in Punjab, Pakistan, shares from Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, which says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And then our brother Ryan, he says, "I was feeling lost and alone, struggling with my faith and feeling unsure of my purpose. I had been going through a time of distress, dealing with financial complications and strained relationships. One night, overwhelmed and desperate for guidance, I opened the Bible and came across Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Reading that passage, I realized that I had been focusing too much on my problems and not enough on my faith." If you can't say amen, say ouch, beloved, because I know if you've been like me and like Ryan, you've done it too. All right. Realized I've been focusing too much on my problems and not enough on my faith. I had been worrying about things that were beyond my control and had lost sight of the fact that God was with me and would provide me with better possibilities. Thank you, Lord. I took the passage to heart and started to focus on my relationship with God. Yes, beloved. And praying and meditating on God's word over time, I felt more peace and contentment, and I began to see a way through my difficulties. The Bible can provide relief and direction during trying times, and concentrating on our faith can help us find peace and determination. So let us prioritize our relationship with God every day, believing in God's provision and guidance. We're believers. Am I right about it? No matter our circumstances, we can make time for prayer and reflection and focus on God's word as a source of well-being and relief. Hallelujah. And he offers a prayer, beloved. Dear God, thank you for providing for us during times of crisis. We trust in your goodness and love to guide us through any challenge. I'm with you there, brother. Amen. I'm with it. Hallelujah and amen. So, beloved, yes, this is the bright side. And we refuse to quit in the dip. We're going to run this race. We're not going to get weary. We're going to walk this walk and not faint. Are you with me? Hallelujah. All right, then. Well, listen, let's go into our music for today. You pray with me that this thing is going to do what it's supposed to do and that you will hear the music I've got lined up for you. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Interesting. Interesting. All right, beloved. I seem to be having some continued difficulty with my mixer here. And so why is that? Why is that? Y'all want me to sing these songs for you? Some people like to hear me sing, and that's cool. But I don't think I can sing through this day. All right, beloved. It sounds like it's going to be a talk kind of a day, if that's okay. I'm so sorry. I really, really did. Oh, I know what it is. The adversary don't want y'all to hear, because we was waging war on him today. Isn't that interesting? Praise be to God. All right. Let me see. Hold on one moment. Don't go nowhere. I'm still trying to work this out. Okay, I wanted to hear if you guys could hear the music, even though I can't.
As a large language model, I don't have senses like hearing.
Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen, somebody. Are you there? Are you with me? Say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray right now. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, Lord, I just thank you for the blessings that you bestowed upon us already and today. Hallelujah. And whatever the issue is on our broadcast this morning in terms of letting our music come forward, I just pray that you would intervene for us and that you would give us the words to say that will bless your people on today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, for new equipment. I thank you, oh God, for just working it all out. Hallelujah. I thank you, oh God. This is the day that you have made, and I rejoice, and I am glad in it. Praise be to God. I am glad in it. I don't know if it's my equipment, Lord, or the mixer, or the plugs, or whatever it is, but God, I give it all to you, and I declare victory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I might turn this thing off and start it back up again. What do you think? Think I should turn it off and start it up again and see what happens? Are you with me on that? That's what I'm kind of inclined to do. I'm inclined to turn it off and turn it back on again. So y'all give me 2 minutes, all right? And we're gonna try and do this thing all over again. Praise be to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen, and I'm back. All right, I came back. Hallelujah. And as a matter of fact, I came back, but that doesn't seem to have resolved the situation. All right, well, then I'm just gonna be sharing some stuff that I've been thinking about, that I've been wanting to talk about. And okay, let's see. No. It ain't working, y'all. It ain't working. All right. All right. Well, then, you know what? I think I may just get into the Word of God. How about that? The Word of God is good for what ails us. And certainly, it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our pathway. And I wanted to talk this morning about leaning into Lent. How about that? Leaning into Lent, beloved. This is the season of Lent, and particularly in the Christian community, in the church, Catholic church, and some Presbyterian churches, Protestant churches, we lean into Lent. Then there are some branches of the Christian faith who don't deal much with Lent. So you might be in that branch and you don't really know much about Lent. So I want to talk about that and perhaps lean into Lent a little bit. How about that? In Matthew chapter 4, pardon me, verses 1 to 2, it says, the Word of God says to us, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry." Jesus was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Well, beloved, first of all, I want to say thank you, God, for this word. Hallelujah. As we lean into Lent, God, let those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, to the people. In Jesus' name, I pray. Beloved, some of you may have heard me share how last year I went on a 40-day fast. It was not my first time doing a 40-day fast. I started fasting when I was about 30 years. Well, I was doing smaller fasts, but I started doing 40-day fast. I was about 34 years old. And remember, I was 34 years old because it was the year that I was called into pastoral ministry. And beloved, in my denomination, African Methodist Episcopal denomination, there is or was or well, there is. They're just, you know, sometimes they can relax the rules a little bit, right? But there was a rule that if you hadn't finished seminary or religious school for a degree, that you could not get a pastorate position. You could not be appointed as a shepherd of a flock in the body of Christ, right? And indeed, I had not. I had stopped school to have my child and in college, and you know, my sophomore year I conceived and I stopped school so I could support myself and my son. And I went back to school as an adult to finish my bachelor's degree. And when I finished my bachelor's degree, I decided that I wasn't going to go back to school to grad school until he had gone into high school. And so going to my pastor when the new bishop said, if you don't have that master level degree or above, don't even look my way for a pastorate. And I went to my pastor and I said, you know, what should I do? Because people had, you know, I was doing pastoral ministry in my home church. Thank God for my pastor and mentor, Reverend Dr. Floyd Flake, who entrusted me to start programs and to, you know, to finance them and whatnot. And so, you know, I didn't know what that meant for me. And his counsel was, well, you know, just sit tight, you know, or go to grad school, you know, because you're not going to get a pastorate, right? And I was with that. But I went in prayer and the Spirit of God spoke to me and he said, not having that degree is not going to stop you. This is a true story, right? And so that summer I was on a retreat and at a campus, at a Christian campus, and the food wasn't that good. And I was complaining to the Lord that the food wasn't good. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, so fast, right? So I was okay, I'll fast. And this one meant no food, only liquid, right? A broth or water or diluted tea or diluted juice. And so that began my first fast. Now, when that night at the worship service that night, the preacher shared that he found the food that week particularly bad as well, and the Spirit of the Lord had told him to fast. So that was a confirmation for me, and I got excited. And after the service, I couldn't wait to get to the altar to tell him that I had the same conversation with God. And he said, "Oh, so you're doing a 40-day fast too?" And I said, "Yes," but the yes came out before it registered with my mind, right? But I had made this commitment to do this 40-day fast. So here I go. I start my 40-day fast. And midway through my fast, I receive a phone call from my stepmother, God bless the dead, Barbara Randolph Singletary. And her call was frantic. And she was telling me that my father had been in an accident in Switzerland. He'd been hit by a train in Switzerland. And, you know, he would often go on international business trips. And, you know, nothing had ever happened like this. And so I asked, well, you know, what's the situation? How's he doing? And she said, "I don't have any more information. Just pray, you know. I'll call you as soon as I hear more." And so, beloved, I'm praying. I'm already fasting and praying. I'm about 20 days into the fast. It's around just before Labor Day. It's just before Labor Day. The family had a Labor Day barbecue, and they just knew that, you know, because I'm a foodie, right? I'm a Mikey. Give it to me. I'll eat it, right? And so they were like, "Oh, she's not going to eat nothing. She's fasting." And people just couldn't get their heads around that. Nah, she'll have some of this. They had made some of the things, particularly my favorites. And, no, she's not going to eat that. And true, because now I was on a mission, right? And the mission was praying for my father, hallelujah, to recover from this accident. So I get my call, you know, a day later that they don't expect him to make it, beloved. Amen. They don't expect him to make it. And so, you know, but I'm fasting and I'm praying and I'm including my father, my brother, my son. I'm praying for them. And make the long story short, I was not going to stop now. Don't care how the head hurt or the stomach hurt or how I felt weak sometimes or, you know, how I had a little craving or a little growling in the belly. Nothing was going to stop me from doing these 40 days, all right? And so praise be to God. Made it through the 40 days. And on the 41st day, I get a call that my father has recovered. Come on here, somebody. Amen. But they said he wasn't going to walk. Well, Lord made a liar out of the devil again, because he not only walked, but he continued. He got back home and he continued to improve, and 13 years was added to his life, beloved. Amen. Hallelujah. It might have been more than 13. I don't remember the exact number, but, you know, he had length of years added to his life before he passed. Not from that accident, but from congenital heart failure. And that was back in 2006. I started pastoring that November. Got a call from my pastor. My fast was over sometime in September. And in November, I was appointed to pastor, and the rules had been relaxed. Come on here, somebody. Talking about leaning into Lent and the significance of the 40-day fast. In Matthew chapter 4, it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Beloved, you might be going through a wilderness experience. And you know, if you're in the wilderness, you're looking all around. You can't find the road. You can't find civilization. You know, there are things out in the wilderness that might cause you to be uneasy or even afraid or even terrified. But you're in that wilderness and you're wondering, why am I here? Why am I going through this? What's going on? And then understanding that if God would lead Jesus into a wilderness, what about you and me? Why not you and me, right? We go through these wilderness experiences, and we go there because the Lord wants to let you know what he's made of. He wants to let you know what you're made of, and he wants to let us know that the adversary ain't got nothing on us. Come on here, somebody. So the devil was allowed to take his best shots. He was able to shoot his best shot at Jesus, and he came to him three times. After 40 days and 40 nights of going through this and fasting, he was hungry. Word also tells us that angels came and ministered to him after that, right? You can expect something to happen after that, something godly, something good to happen after that. I'm talking about leaning into Lent, beloved. Lent is a season that has been observed for centuries, but many today struggle to see its significance. And some see it as an outdated tradition, while others recognize it is a vital time of spiritual renewal. Lent matters, beloved, not only in biblical history, the 40-day significance, but it matters for us today. And so, beloved, I just want to look a little bit for a moment at the foundation of Lent in the Bible. Hallelujah, because it is relevant for us, the 40-day significance, right? The 40-day fast of Jesus in the wilderness. Moses, who fasted for 40 days on Mount Sinai. You read about that in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 28. Elijah, who journeyed and fasted for 40 days, fasted, hallelujah, and went on the strength of that fast, amen, to Mount Horeb, 40 days. Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 days, pardon me, for 40 years. They wish it was 40 days. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, right? Wandering for 40 years on a journey that some say could have taken them just a few weeks. But why the delay? Why the detours? Why the interruption in the timetable? Well, if we look at their story and we read the record, we read that they had a lot of infighting, that they had even among leadership, you know, Aaron and Miriam, Moses' sister and brother, who were called by God to lead the people of Israel out of bondage, right? We talk about Moses as the great deliverer, but the word of God tells us that he had help. Amen. And that God gave significant role to his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam. And so, beloved, hallelujah, there was infighting. Moses and siblings did not approve of his wife. And anybody out here can relate. Amen. Family members don't approve of the person that you choose or the person that God chose for you. And you got to deal with that. Well, Moses had that going on, you know, and it got to a point where they was like, well, you know, why you think, you know, you so big and bad, Moses? Because, you know, we helped lead the people out of Israel too. And then God had to check Miriam and Aaron and tell them that, you know, yeah, I called you to do that. I used you to do that. But I speak to Moses as a friend. Come on here. I speak to Moses even face to face. Praise be to God. So, hallelujah. They had some infighting in the ranks of leadership. Then they had the people who were murmuring and complaining because the road through the wilderness was not easy. And I already outlined some of the emotions and experiences of being in the wilderness experience. And so they were there and they were grumpy and they were tired and they were hungry and they were confused and they were uncertain about where they were going and what to expect. The idea of being out of bondage and slavery was wonderful. But now what do we do? They had to be responsible for everything before they only had to do what they were told to do, right? And so folks was going through it, and it wasn't pretty, okay? There was a lot of stuff going on. And God got to a point where he was like, these people are not of faith. They're not believing. And I can't work with them. I can't deal with them. They're not ready to go where I'm taking them. And I'm going to have to let this whole generation pass before I can take you where I want you to be. And that's what happened, right? It took them 40 years, a journey that should have taken a little while. You know, sometimes I make that analogy to what we're experiencing in the United States of America. It's like a catch-22 when you look at it, because some of the things that we hear and we see and we're living, you know, they're prophetically told through the scriptures, you know, about the end times and what it's going to look like in climate, what it's going to look like in politics, what it's going to look like in families, what it's going to look like globally. You know, we have those things told to us in the scriptures. And then on the other hand, we look at it and we say, you know, we had such a great opportunity in America to do what had not been done in any other place on the earth. Usually in history, in antiquity, a stronger nation would overtake a weaker nation, and the people would be consumed, subsumed into that civilization, into that society. They would either just, what do they call, melt into it. And we call this the melting pot. They'd melt into it, or they'd be enslaved right into it. And here we have this whole idea of liberty, that you could come from wherever you came from here into America and be free, that you could have equal rights and equal protection and equal opportunity. What a godly idea. It was never God's plan for man to kill man or one to be more supreme or than the other. He created us all in his image, right? So the American experiment, the American experience. Some have said, you know, there are people, groups who are, you know, trying to take control and take power who believe that it was a failed experiment and that we need a king or we need a dictator. But God, amen, like Israel, he said, I'll be your God. And when this nation was established, and, you know, man is, you know, all sin and come short of the glory of God. So when it was established, there was some sinful things done and some done in the name of God. But praise be to God, there was a foundational principle of all people being created equal and in the image of God with certain inalienable rights, all people. What a concept, right? What a dream. What a vision. Hallelujah. And we have for hundreds of years been struggling. Israel came out of Egypt and it did 40 years in the wilderness. And America, we keep getting right to that promised place and then rolling right back again. Oh, my God. Lent is a season, beloved, we need to lean into. How about that? All right. Maybe some fasting and praying will help and help us get through. How about that? Listen, it was never meant for Lent to be a ritual, just a mere ritual, you know, and even now today there are people who say, well, you know, for 40 days, just give up something, you know, give up candy or give up TV or watching a particular show on television, right? Make some kind of sacrifice and that will suffice. Well, that can suffice for some things, but that's not what we were talking about when we talk about Moses, when we talk about Elisha, when we talk about Jesus, right? Hallelujah. When we talk about getting that power that comes, Jesus said, this kind of deliverance only comes by prayer and fasting. And they weren't talking about candy bars, beloved. They didn't have television. Come on here, somebody. Amen. So it went much deeper than that. You know, last year, I did my first full water fast for 40 days. And, you know, when I first started fasting off of solid food, and people will say, oh, there's no way you can go 40 days without eating food. Well, beloved, the way food prices are today, I think some of us are going to be fasting at least one day a week. Amen. Trying to stretch that food budget dollar. Some may be fasting, amen, more than one day a week, right? And there's different kinds of fasts. We teach about all that stuff in our ministry from time to time. You know, sticking with my experience last year where I did water for 40 days, and some people may believe, not, but, she didn't do that. That was impossible. Listen, I'm here to tell you, okay? I ain't got no reason to lie to you. Amen. I don't want to give up what God gave me lying to you, all right? It was water, just water for 40 days. And because I have been fasting, you know, every Lent season, just about every Lent season, I might have, you know, foregone one or two, but from 1991 up until 2024, every Lent season, some kind of fast for Lent, right? Full day fast, half a day fast, you know, sun up to sundown fast, sundown to sun up fast, you know, various things. But this time it was just water, right? And beloved, I got to a point, and I've shared this before, I'm sure, but I got to a point where my body began to have effect, and I was truly suffering. I was sharing this story with someone just yesterday, and they was like, well, you know, Jesus suffered on the cross, and if he suffered, then why not us? And that is absolutely true, and I remind myself of that. I try to encourage people with that, you know, that what you're going through, God will get you through, okay? You just got to hang in there and don't quit in the dip, you know? But this was different, and it took me to understand when we, or myself, I know, cavalierly talk about Moses fasting for 40 days. It wasn't just that he did not have food, or Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days. It wasn't just that he didn't have food, hallelujah, for 40 days, but the effects of not having food for 40 days, for only being on water for 40 days. I began to have the experiences of that, and it was a different level of suffering, the emotional suffering, you know, disappointment, you know, betrayal, rejection, you know, the different kinds of things we said, loss, you know, grief and stuff, those kind of sufferings and sorrows I'm not minimizing at all. This was just different. And I said to the Lord, why am I suffering like this? You know, and I did hear something from the Spirit of God, which was that a time is coming that your generation has not seen, and you will go through it, and I expect my people to shine. That was in March 2024. Well, here we are in March of 2025, and time again, and I've said it time and time again, I hear people in the media saying, and we see it in Norfolk, so we can say it ourselves, I ain't never seen nothing like this. We've never gone through this before, right? Heads are spinning on what to do. What do we deal with? How do we deal with someone in the presidential office who have dubbed themselves a king, right? How do we roll back into having three co-equal branches of government like the Constitution said, and we have someone who's who's for all intents and purposes taken over two other branches of government and is, you know, in many ways standing in contest against the judicial branch, right? I mean, there's just so much going on. We've never been this way before. But God gave me a word, and he said that my people are going to go through it. And he expects us to shine, beloved. This was a revelation that I received in a 40-day fast, beloved. Hallelujah. It's more than just a mere ritual. It is a way for us to step into the story that Christ and the story that Christ is writing right now. His suffering and his sacrifice brought victory, hallelujah, for us. Amen. It brought victory for us. When I fasted for 40 days back in 1991, hallelujah, it brought me victory over the rule of not being able to be called into pastorate. I certainly wasn't looking to be called into the pastoral ministry. My pastor asked me what were my plans, and I had it further down in my future. Amen. But hallelujah, after that 40-day fast, God gave a victory. Praise be to God. And that victory led me to the Paint Amy Church in Chatham, New York. And it led me to Columbia County, where the Lord has done some marvelous things. So praise the Lord. And listen, beloved, it's not that the adversary didn't come to tempt. It's not that he didn't come to kill, steal, and destroy, but that God always comes through. Hallelujah. I'm talking about leaning into Lent and the 40-day period. Hallelujah. And, you know, we're midway through Lent. Praise be to God. But, hallelujah, it's not too late. Amen. It's never too late with God. All right. In the world today, you know, people value comfort and convenience and gratification, instant gratification. I forgot to take a pause for the cause. I'm 10 minutes beyond the 8:30 of the hour. And so, you're listening to Pastor Kim of Overcomer Ministries. And there's a bright side somewhere. This is WGXC 90.7 Acre. WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Hudson, Catskill, and beyond, WGXC.org online. We are listener-supported radio for open ears, beloved. Hallelujah. And I'm going in on Lent right now. All right? Leaning into Lent. Hallelujah. In this world that, you know, values comfort. And one of my good sister friends, she always says, you know, that God's not concerned about our comfort. Come on, where you get that from? He's concerned about our transformation. Amen. He's concerned about our education, our insight and intellect, our spiritual intellect and intelligence. He's concerned about our salvation. He's concerned about our eternal soul, our eternal life. Hallelujah. Comfort. Amen. That's a cherry on the cake, beloved. Hallelujah. But we in this world and everybody's looking after comfort and convenience, you know. Hallelujah. It's got to be convenient. It's got to fit into my schedule and into my plan. And I don't have time for it because it's not convenient. Amen. There are places in the world, beloved, where people have to go down underground to hear the word of God. There are people in places in prison of preaching and sharing the word of God. Hallelujah. How inconvenient it is for them. Praise the Lord. But here we can just roll out of bed and walk down the street and go into a church, and it's not convenient. We can go online. We can go online and hear the word of God. We can turn on the radio dial and hear the word of God. Hallelujah. And for some people, that's still too inconvenient. Lord have mercy. And then we're in this thing of instant gratification. Okay, God is good. I prayed and I still had to go through it. He's good. And you tell me he's good and all I have to do is pray. Well, why does this happen to me? And why does that happen to me, right? We want that instant gratification. And if we were honest and we looked at ourselves and our situations, and many of those times it was a slow, slippery slope into that situation, and then we want God to reverse it and bring us out instantly because he's got it like that. But there's some lessons that need to be learned. There's some things that have to be put in place. There's some preparation that has to be done in order to take us into a higher level, a new situation, a new position, a new condition, beloved. Hallelujah. Amen. And I encourage people to, you know, embrace the process, because God's been doing this long before we got here. God know what God's doing. Hallelujah. He knows what he's doing. He asks us to trust him and have faith. Amen. But it's so difficult. But you know what? In this world, in this season, this culture, in this society, it's so difficult because we have this mindset, this conditioning of comfort and convenience is the goals. Hallelujah. But the season of Lent, what that does is offers us something that's countercultural, beloved. It offers us to be disciplined. It offers us an opportunity for reflection. Listen, when you're not trying to figure out what you're going to buy for dinner and breakfast and lunch and where you're going to go for dinner or breakfast or lunch or making dinner, breakfast or lunch or then sitting down and consuming the breakfast, the dinner, lunch, you got some freed up time, beloved. Amen. You got some time where you can sit in the presence of God. You can sit in the Word of God. You can sit, hallelujah, listening to the music of God or the Word of God and reflect. You can turn it all off. You can turn it all off and be in silent meditation before the Lord and reflection. Hallelujah. And watch God. You know, it's just a wonderful thing when we take time and we're still before God and, you know, and the pieces of the puzzle start to come together. You know, he starts to reveal, you know, no, you're not wrestling with flesh and blood. You think that that's so-and-so, but that's a spirit operating through so-and-so. That's a spirit that's guiding and moving so-and-so, you know, and you got to deal with it spiritually. No, it's not about them just growing and maturing. You're battling in the spirit realm. And so you need the God with the Holy Spirit, the Most High God, to help you fight that battle, to give you skill, to give you guidance on how to deal with so-and-so. Can I get an amen, somebody who know what I'm talking about? So it gives you a chance to reflect, hallelujah, and not just to be reflexive, not just to act out of reflex, amen. Some of us, before we became new creations in Christ Jesus, you know, everything was reflex, okay? You know, just pop off in a moment because it's a reflex condition, you know? But then the transformation process through the Word of God and the relationship with Jesus begins to, you know, conform us in more and more in his likeness. And we don't pop off like that anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. And reflection on the growth that we have achieved or how far we still have to go to grow. Praise God. Reflection helps and does that for us. And then Lent, you know, it gives us this period and brings us into renewal, a renewed commitment in God, a renewed faith in God, a renewed dependence on God. You know, my story in the top of this sharing was about my father being hit by a train in Switzerland. I mean, how bizarre is that? Hallelujah. How many folk out there can relate to that, right? Amen. But hallelujah, through that time of fasting and praying, not only did God renew my father's strength, but he renewed my situation too. I was living in a house that I was renting, and then the family wanted to take it. Praise be to God. And so I really wouldn't have had a place to live. And the Lord opened up a door for me to come up to Chatham, and here was a parsonage. Praise be to God. You know, I just tell you, the way he works in the unseen, oh, it's never a dull moment, truly. It's never a dull moment with God. I'm leaning into Lent, beloved. Am I leading you to lean in a little bit more? Hallelujah. Lent confronts our need to repent. Yes, beloved, I need to repent. And in today's culture, we are often distracted by busyness and indulgences. But Lent calls us to slow down, examine our hearts, and turn back to God. That's what Lent gives us the opportunity to do. In Psalm chapter 51 and verse 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Lent is a time to allow God to cleanse us. Amen. Renew in us. Renew in me a clean heart. You know, we can hold things in our heart. We can hold things in our memories. We can hold things that are harmful to us, that do not help us to grow, do not help move us forward. When we're holding these things in our heart that are not good for us. There's some things we have to hold in our heart that are good for us. And God gave us a word. He showed us something and we held on to it. And it was so real. And we're just waiting for the opportunity to come. We're waiting to move into it, right? And we're waiting. And in most instances, we're not just waiting idly sitting on the beach, but we're making steps and moving toward it. But we're holding it in our heart. We can't share it with other people yet, right? Hallelujah. But then there are some things we hold in our heart that just hardens our heart. We hold in our heart and it sears our conscience and we're not convicted about our sin. We're not convicted that, you know, our attitude is funky. We're not convicted that, you know, we're lazy. You know, whatever the case may be, right? Because of the things that we've held inside. Hallelujah. So Lent gives us an opportunity to reflect and to renew. And in the words of the psalmist, ask God to clean out the stuff that's inside that we know ain't good for us. Amen. Sometimes we've been that way for so long, we don't think change is possible. Sometimes we've been that way for so long and then we've justified it or rationalized it by saying, well, I'm just like my mama or my daddy. Hallelujah. But the word of God says that in Christ Jesus, we become new creations and the old things have passed away. Amen. That we are adopted into the family of God. So if we're going to be like our daddy, then we're supposed to be more like him. Hallelujah. And his attributes and characteristics, right? Praise be to God. So Lent calls us and gives us a chance to say, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Hallelujah. Lent is a time that allows God to cleanse us. And you know, when we're not consuming all that food and all that junk and the processed food and, you know, those ingredients that have multiple syllables to them and, you know, and letter combinations that we can't pronounce, you know, cleans out that stuff too, breaks that stuff down. Praise be to God. Lent reminds us to depend on God. Hallelujah. And fasting teaches us that we do not live by bread alone, you know, and you might be, you know, looking at this thing and saying, you know, I've never fasted before. It's been a long time since I fasted or I tried to fast and, you know, and then my head started to hurt. So I had to take something, you know, or I started to fast and I got all weak and I had to take something. I started to fast and my stomach started growling and got upset. So I had to take something. And I often say, listen, if your body is used to having food and you're not giving it food, is your body going to say something? Amen. It's going to say something. Hallelujah. And you know, even for people who are on medication, first of all, consult with your doctor. But second of all, there's a fast for you. There is a fast for you. Amen. There's a Daniel fast that is biblically based in its fruit and its vegetables. Hallelujah. Amen. There's an Anna fast. Amen. Where you fast from sundown to sun up. Hallelujah. So there is a fast for you. Praise be to God. And then there's that total fast. Fasting teaches us that we do not live by bread alone in Matthew chapter 4:4. And it shifts our focus from the earthly comforts of food to divine provision. Hallelujah. To divine provision. To depending on God to give me the energy to get up and keep doing the work that I have to do. I may have to slow it down a pace. Amen. And sometimes, praise the Lord, you just have to take a nap. Hallelujah. The body needs rest. Babies sleep a lot because the bodies need that rest to grow. And we got to get some rest too so we can grow spiritually. Praise be to God. Amen. And so, hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, we just have to depend on God. I don't have the energy to get up and clean today, God, but I'm depending on you to keep my house from going to pot. How about that? You know, but on a light note, but on a serious tip, beloveds, We have to learn how to lean and depend on God. You know, one of the benefits of being in a team is that you learn how to depend on your teammates. You know, one of the benefits and blessings of a healthy and a good marriage is that you learn how to depend on your spouse. Praise be to God. And as believers in Christ Jesus and Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, we learn how to depend on God and how to depend on his fidelity to his word, his faithfulness to what he said he would do, who he is, who we are. Amen. In him. Lent allows us and reminds us to depend on God. In our society, you know, is driven by self-sufficiency. But Lent reminds us that we need God more than anything else, beloved. And Lent prepares us for the joy of Easter. Hallelujah. Resurrection Sunday. Come on here, somebody. Just as Jesus endured suffering before resurrection, Lent helps us embrace a season of suffering and sacrifice before celebrating the victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And with the preparation of Lent, and Easter becomes more than just another holiday. Hallelujah. We develop a deeper appreciation for the cross and the empty tomb. Praise be to God. And you know what? I was watching with my mom last night, The Godfather Coda. And I think it's the third in the trilogy of the Godfather stories, right? And there's scenes, and there's a very popular movie out now called Conclave, and you know, it takes you behind the scenes in Vatican City, you know, and the popes and all the, you know, the hierarchy and the pomp and the circumstance and the robes and all of that kind of stuff. But the thing that really grabbed me, beloved, and I really got the appreciation for, was the government that authorized the crucifixion of Christ, the execution of Jesus the Christ, the government that put him on the cross and nailed him there, and the government officials that tortured him, hallelujah, were the Roman government. Come on here, somebody. They were in power at that time. And beloved, only God could do it. Put the Rome as the seat of the Catholic Church. And the church was just Catholic in the beginning, because the word Catholic means universal, right? So it was just one universal church, and it was made the seat of it, in the very seat of the government that sought to stifle it, destroy it. Come on here, somebody. Amazing. A whole city, beloved, the wealth of which is untold. Amen. The libraries there, the real estate there, you know, the jewels, the opulence, all of this stuff in the seat of where the government was that crucified Christ. I mean, I just marvel at the way God shows up in the world. Praise be to God. And it wasn't built on a day, let me tell you, you know. And sometimes God, he doesn't show up in a day, but he shows up in the way he shows up. And he shows up and he shows off. Amen. So Lent is a time, beloved, of purpose. It's a time with a purpose. And the call to observe Lent is a call to observe Lent with purpose. It's not just a relic of church history. It is a call to every believer to draw closer to God through fasting and prayer or acts of service. This season invites us to participate in the life of Christ in a meaningful way. So let us not approach Lent as just a mere tradition, but let us see it as an opportunity to deepen our faith and renew our hearts and prepare ourselves to celebrate the greatest event, the greatest victory in history. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ declared, "Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory?" Hallelujah. I have overcome sin, Satan, death, and the grave Praise be to God. And on the third day, hallelujah, he got up with all power in his hand. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the journey through the season of Lent. May we fix our eyes on Jesus. Help us to repent of our sins and rely on your strength. Prepare our hearts for joy of Easter, of resurrection, joy in Jesus. Yes, beloved, this is Pastor Kim, your perpetual optimist, and there is a bright side somewhere. Listen, you can leave comments at 518-622-2598. If you have a comment, something you want to share, we'd love to hear from you. Happy birthday to all you March babies. We're about to say goodbye to March. It's getting ready to be in the history books, right? Happy birthday to you March babies, and happy anniversary to all you March lovers. We bless you and we pray for you. If you're sick or you're shut in, you're lost or you're lonely, you're confused or depressed or stressed or grieved or bereaved, know that somebody somewhere is praying for you, because we are. We are. No matter how dark the clouds may be or how great a day, remember, the sun is still there. The sun still shines. There is a bright side somewhere. Don't quit in the dip, beloved. Hang on in there. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Love you much. God loves you more. God loves you best, better than all the rest. In that knowledge, beloved.